This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 29th day of June 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and tomorrow's USDA reports. That with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks out at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County will help us take a look at basis in the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too. And with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, along the way, I'll bring you the agricultural news for the day. And we'll discuss prevent plant and crop progress as a combined figure and what it might mean. That with Gary Schnitke, ag economist, right here on this campus. During this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, it is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. A penny and three quarters lower for the day in the corn pit lead option July contract, 383 and a quarter. The settlement price December at 402 and a quarter. It was up a quarter in the May futures, three quarters lower at 418 and a half. July down a half at 423 and three quarters. Soybeans July contract up a half, $10.02 was the final price. The September at 984 and a half, down 5 cents. November down 6 at 980. And the January beans at 985, down 6 at a quarter. Next year's July down 5 at a quarter at 979 and a half. Bean meal up 60 cents at 341.90. Bean oil at 33.05, 17 cents lower. Chicago soft red winter wheat at $5.80 and 1/2 cents, up 18 and a quarter. September, 583 and a half, up 15 and a half for the day. The hard red July, 571 and a half, 12 and a quarter of a cent higher for the afternoon. Live cattle futures, June contract. Contract 149.80, up a buck 40. The September, or rather August at 150 even, that's $1.47.5 higher. August feeder cattle at $1.97.5, 219.22.5 was the final trade. They were up a buck 97.5. The September 218 and a nickel, up $2.15. And lean hogs for the day in the July contract, $74.65, down 80 on the day. August down 85 at $71.97.5 per 100. Pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at Stewart-Peterson.com.
Outside markets at this hour show us crude oil down $1.31 a barrel at $58.32. Ethanol futures at $1.56.4 per gallon. That's a penny and a half lower. Gasoline on the RBOB price at 2 3/10 of a cent lower. $2.02.5 was the trade. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.83.8, down 2 4/10. Natural gas 3 7/10 of a cent higher at $2.80.7 of a cent for the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 17,556 is 317 points lower. The dollar at 94.955 is down 0.696. And gold futures on the day in the August up $6 at $1,179.25. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area tells us that tonight we'll see a 30% chance of rainfall. That'll mainly be after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 63 degrees. On a west-northwest wind at 5 to 7, they'll turn to the southwest after midnight. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of rainfall, partly sunny skies, a high near 80 degrees, and on Tuesday, a 30% chance of showers, partly cloudy and 63. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, 78. Wednesday night, a 50% chance of rainfall and 63, and 30% chance of rainfall on Thursday. We'll go to a high of 78 degrees Thursday night. More rain and a low of 63. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon, the 29th day of June. Kurt Kimmel is with us. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Thanks for taking the time with us this afternoon, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Well,
looking forward to tomorrow's USDA reports. And I think in great anticipation for both the acreage and the grain stocks numbers. Let's start with the acreage figures. What kinds of considerations are you working through today?
Well, this is, still in tensions, per se, and what has actually been planted. But the average guess on corn is around 89.3, and the beans 85.2. We kind of believe the bean number is going to be strong. There's still a lot of intent to put a lot more beans in than what we've been seeing. So we'll see what they come up with. That's kind of the fear today is that the acreage could be a little rich, but once we get the acreage out, they'll focus on weather. Corn-wise, we'll see what comes in out there. That's kind of been the trend of what the seed companies have been telling us and what producers have been telling us. I know locally here there's some areas that want a little heavier beans that got in, but man, you get much south of us in some areas, a lot of these beans didn't get in, but that's going to be the next topic once we get past 11 o'clock tomorrow.
And the grain stocks, your expectations there?
High corn. I mean, it seems like guys sold their beans last fall and held onto the corn, and I think the corn stocks are going to be strong, 4.55 billion bushels. The bean stocks probably 670 million bushels. The concern is the stocks guys been not moving the grain, per se. I mean, there's been some free DP. There's been some movement on that. But as a whole here, there's still ample old corn around. And that was kind of reflective on this rally that we saw here over the last few trading sessions, that basis widened out as producers took advantage of this up move in through here to get caught up on cash grain sales. But the significance of these numbers is basically we'll use the acreage as the top line supply-demand balance sheet. Then we'll negotiate the harvested acres. Then the stocks report, of course, is a benchmark to sort of let us know where we are on the demand side of the equation. So these are important numbers that's part of the balance sheet that's going to continue to be a moving part scenario as we go through the growing season.
Of course, at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Central Time, those numbers will be released. If you'd like to see them as quickly as possible, visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you are subscribed to our newsletter, should have a newsletter in your inbox already, and that will be updated as Dave Dickey gets the opportunity to put some of those numbers so you can watch it as well. And of course, you can see those numbers on my Twitter account. If you don't have Twitter, don't worry. It's right there on the website at willag.org. We'll get all those figures out as quickly as possible at 11 o'clock. My Twitter account is at Commodity Week, and I suspect you'll have something to say on your Twitter account as well. It is at CKimmel3. Is that correct?
CKimmel3. And boy, I appreciate you doing what you do, because I'm just bombarded with phone calls at that time, and all I do is push retweet.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's part of my job. So we try to make sure those numbers, Dave and I both try to make sure those numbers get out fairly quickly. But before we get to those, the crop progress report is due out in just, 45 minutes or so yet this afternoon. And it's been having a big impact on the marketplace, although we're really close to the end of the season. What are your expectations out of it, and what areas should we be watching?
Well, a lot of fun with it. At least you got to look at trying to have a little fun with it. A lot of scuba gear being rented out to check the crops. A lot of boats and kayaks out there to do the surveys. And it's just devastating if it's your farm. I do understand. And I think we're going to see some continuation of what we saw last week. A few percentage point drops is going to materialize, I believe. Last week we saw a huge hit in Illinois, particularly in the beans. I would not be surprised to see the corn conditions drop on below this 70% level, get into the mid-60s. These beans probably dropped 5% down to 60% good to excellent. We'll see how it all juggles out. On the flip side, you know, there's some Minnesota portions of Iowa that kind of improved in some areas, but it's just not going to be able to offset what we're seeing here in the Eastern Belt. It started out a Western Belt concern, but the West seems to be in decent condition, not excellent condition, but decent conditions here. Missouri on east is really getting bombarded.
I know the next 18 hours will change things as USDA releases the crop progress, the acreage, and of course the grain stocks reports. But does this market feel like it's topping to you at this point?
I think we've priced in quite a bit of bullish news. It could move a little bit higher, but if you even go back to the great flood year of 1993, we put a low end into June. We had a rally there for about 2 weeks into the first part of July. Then we corrected going into September. Then the big rally didn't take place until later on as we went through October, November, and December, of course. But it does feel like we've gotten a little ahead of ourselves here. The momentum indicators are up there where we can see some type of retracement take place. We'll see how the funds are reacting here. They've been huge shorts in the market. They've covered a good chunk of that position, so we'll have to keep an eye on them to see if they want to continue to gather some ownership here as we go through the first week of July.
Interesting historical account. Just to add to that, the crest in 1993 of the Mississippi River in St. Louis was on August the 1st, and it receded below the flood level on October, I believe it was the 5th, but somewhere in that range. So put it all in perspective, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a dynamic market. I mean, this whole thing's changed. You know, last winter we talked about dry weather, and this is one of those years we got too wet weather, and it's going to ding production. How much? We're going to debate that clear into January of 2016.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Take care. Look forward for your tweets tomorrow.
Okay, thanks so much. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, European leaders are putting pressure on Greece to step back from the brink and stay in the euro. With Greece under capital controls and banks closed, the German chancellor and French president have offered no concessions beyond saying they remain open to talks, not even after a planned referendum on the EU's aid proposal, which is scheduled for the 5th day of July. The head of the European Commission says the whole planet would view a no vote as Greece turning its back on Europe. European leaders were emboldened by a measured investor response to a weekend of turmoil as the Greek government took emergency steps to avert the collapse of its financial system. Let's move now from the world stage to domestic issues. The EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers Waters of the U.S. rule is expected to take effect August 28th. The Clean Water Rule, otherwise known as the Waters of the U.S. or WOTUS, was published in the Federal Register Monday, meaning it's set to be law in 60 days. Wade Cowan, president of the American Soybean Association and producer from Brownfield, Texas, says the rule will affect all farmers.
You read this new rule, it's just a big grab and a big ability to control how you farm on your farm. If you've got a plow lake, and according to some of the people that's read the rule, a lot better than I have, and it's 297 pages, so I haven't got through all of it. But the people that are in the know say, if you've got a place on your farm that's held water in the last 12 months, they can regulate that. Now, you know, we're the land of 20,000 lakes right here on the High Plains here in May this year, but it may not hold water for the next 4 years, but right now it does. So I don't really want EPA coming in and telling me I need to get permits through the government and everything. I've got a buddy in Kentucky. He said the permits that it was going to cost him because he does have some minor tributaries is going to be about $300,000 to his operation.
There's been some movement in both chambers on Capitol Hill, with legislation seeking to block or stop the rule. Cowan says lawmakers are starting to see the impact the rule will have.
We're beginning to see it. We're pushing hard. We bring it up in every one of our meetings with different congressional members and Senate members, and we're trying to keep it on the radar. You know, the quickest answer is that we get another administration, we get another rule out on the waters of the U.S., and once we get that, you know, we might have a fix, but here in the meantime, we're going to be stuck with a rule that might not work for us.
Meanwhile, a coalition of farm groups is weighing a potential lawsuit to attempt to stop the rule, which may ultimately wind up in the Supreme Court. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Ag economist Gary Schnittke is here to look at prevent plant acres and soybeans, some of the historical background. These numbers are reported by USDA and FSA. Certainly this year, many in the commodity markets are wondering how many prevent plant acres there might be across the United States. What did you find in the historical accounts?
Yeah, and that's why we did it, because it's of interest this year. But just to give you a feel, from 1996 through 2014, on average, there was 759,000 prevented plant acres for soybeans in the U.S. And there were 4 years where that was over a million acres, and the highest was in 2013 when it was 1.69 million acres. So we have the highest has been 1.69 million acres, and that happened in 2013.
Do we know much about the rest of those years when we had those prevent plant acres? What were they like?
Yeah, so there were 4 years when we had over a million acres of prevent plant and soybeans. Those were 2001, 10, 11, and 13. The common thing in all of those years was either North Dakota, South Dakota, or Minnesota, and usually a combination of all three of those had large number of acres of prevent plant. Following those three, it was Minnesota. So the rank order of states with prevent plant acres are South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, and then Missouri. So that's typically the states that you look at for soybeans with large numbers of acres of prevent plant.
This year, Missouri would be the important number to look at least to this point, although southern Illinois, parts of Indiana have been really inundated by rainfall over the last month. Missouri, however, it's clear, is well behind in their soybean planting.
Yeah, and again, if you're looking at this, what you're saying is that the upper Midwest is probably done and probably very low prevent plant. And then we look at Missouri. And actually, if you're looking at it, the states where we're behind is stretches from Kansas, Missouri, southern Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, all the way through North Carolina. Those are the states where you're looking at the biggest or largest potential for prevent plant, but Missouri is probably the largest soybean area right now. Last crop progress report indicated that there was 51% of the acres planted, soybean acres, in Missouri, and that was on June 21st. We'll get another one here soon, but on June 21st, 51%, which is way behind any observation we've seen since 1997. So, what does that mean? The highest number of soybean acres that were prevent plant in Missouri up to this point were 240,000 acres. So, we're looking at something larger than that. The largest we've ever seen in the United States for a single state was just 450,000. So, if we see something over 500,000 acres in Missouri, which we could well see, that would be record-setting as far as prevent plant acres in one state. And a million would be way out there.
Can you take producers and listeners through one of the charts that you put together for the FarmDoc Daily website and this particular article, the last one, in fact, which plots prevent plant soybean acres against percent planted or the crop progress numbers. And I'm interested in and these are for Missouri, and I'm interested in the 2008 versus the 2010 plot numbers and what those tell us, because they're not that far apart, relatively speaking, in total number of plant acres, but the number of acres that appear to have been planted on that date, the 21st of June, were way different in those years.
Yeah, so this is Missouri in 2010 and 2008. In both of those years, we had close to 200,000 acres prevented plant in Missouri. In 2010, it was 202,000. In 2008, it was 182,000. Almost the same. But the acres that were progress by week 25, which is June 21st, roughly, it was 90% in 2010. So almost, you know, that there's nothing unusual about a 90% on that date. And there is either weather or incentives or crop insurance incentives to take prevent plant that caused more prevent plant in 2010. In 2008, we saw a lot more prevented plant, and actually, or lot slower crop progress. 2008 in Missouri, it was 66%. So that's still higher than it was back in right now, back last week. But it does point that you can plant, that farmers can plant a lot of soybeans.
And it says something about the way the crop progress figures are reported, because this is a subjective reporting of how many acres are planted. Here's the way those numbers are collected. According to the USDA official document, quote, if half the total current year acreage expected is planted, a value of 50% should be used. If weather conditions alter plans such that intentions are prevented, 100% should be used when planting stops. There is some subjectivity there. Thanks so much for taking the time with us to develop this story. We do appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
That's Gary Schnitke, ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You may read more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Find us online at willag.org. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. And tomorrow at 11 o'clock Central Time, you will find the USDA acreage and grain stocks report figures coming to you from that website in a couple of ways. My Twitter feed at Commodity Week will be posted directly into the website, so you don't have to have Twitter in order to find it. And those numbers will be pushed there as soon as they come out from USDA. And then, of course, you can just hit the USDA reports link on that willag.org webpage, and you'll find those numbers developed in there. And if you get our newsletter, they should already be at least available soon in your email. They'll update in your email after.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's a Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Amy Sage is with us from the Andersons to take a look at the cash grain market. Thanks so much, Amy. I bet you've been busy the last several sessions.
We have been. It's been a nice change.
Farmers are wanting to sell. Is that right?
Yes. We've been buying a lot of corn and some beans, too, the past few days here. Mostly old crop corn is what we're seeing people get rid of going into this crop report that we'll have tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So we have been buying some grain. I think that probably led to the pressure that we saw towards the later part of the session today. And We also are obviously approaching month in, and we're rolling out of July positions into the September. So a lot of things going on, and farmers are definitely taking advantage of it.
If USDA does not deviate outside of the trade ranges, does this look and feel more like a waypoint on the way up, or is it a waypoint waiting to go some other direction?
Well, with the forecast how it is, and it is hard not to look out your back door, but with reports from all over the Midwest, there's some areas that look really good. But the more and more rain we get, the less bean acreage that will get replanted and some that hasn't been planted the first time. I think it could drive us a little bit higher here, assuming that we don't see anything drastic in tomorrow's numbers, which we don't know what to expect for tomorrow's numbers. So, but longer-term trading weather, this could be positive for us.
Your bids for the day there?
375 cash corn across the scale. We're 382 for this fall. 997 on cash soybeans, September, October, November at 960. And new wheat, we're at 570 on the close.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's National Almond Butter Crunch Day. It's also Feast Day of St. Peter, patron saint of fishermen, bakers, and harvesters. On this day in agricultural history, in 1943, General Dwight D. Eisenhower requested that Coca-Cola provide 10 portable bottling plants for U.S. troops overseas. Eisenhower's telegram requested 3 million bottles of Coca-Cola, complete equipment for bottling, washing, and capping 3 million bottles twice a month, and sufficient syrup and caps for 6 million refills. In 1956, now President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the Interstate Highway Act, which made possible the modern interstate highway system in the U.S. The act committed federal funds to the states for 90% of interstate highway construction. By the way, three states, Missouri, Kansas, and Pennsylvania, lay claim to the first to take advantage of the act. In 2004, Roy Walford died. An American pathologist, he pioneered and wrote books on the idea of restricting food intake to extend lifespan. And in 2005, the USDA confirmed the second domestic case of mad cow disease in the U.S. The 12-year-old cow was born in Texas and spent its whole life on the same ranch. The first case, discovered in December of 2003, was in a dairy cow that had been imported from Canada. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mark Rosso is here. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Look forward to me. Tell me what the conditions will be like across the Midwest.
Well, Todd, as we look ahead over the next couple of weeks, we see a little bit of more of the same here coming up, meaning that from an wetness standpoint, especially for those more active areas and those areas experiencing wetness issues here in recent weeks, we see this pattern here continuing as we go through the next several weeks. Now, that's primarily confined to the southern half or so of the Midwest, as that is the zone here upcoming, as well as down into the northern delta that looks to be on the active side. So for the southern half of the Midwest, it's kind of more of the same. For the northern delta, it means an uptick in rain activity coming up. But overall, more of the same from a rainfall standpoint. From a temperature standpoint, some of the cooler weather that we've seen work its way into the Midwest, by and large, we see that continuing over the next couple of weeks. And this extreme record-setting heat that we're seeing out west in areas of the Rockies and Pacific Northwest, we can see that by and large staying out west with no indication of that moving full force into the Corn Belt.
Hey, thanks so much. I do appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Join us again tomorrow and on our website at willag.org at 11 o'clock for the USDA Reports.